to thank our brother Shields for the words of welcome again this evening. And I was thinking when George was giving the announcements this morning and came across some word that maybe he hadn't seen before and didn't particularly want to pronounce, how quickly things can come back to bite preachers who were in the pulpit. Just a few months ago I was preaching in our Coleraine Church, congregation with which I am of course very familiar, but getting into the pulpit on the Lord's Day morning I had a pair of slippery soled shoes on, and the pulpit steps were just nicely polished wood. My Bible went in one direction and I went in another and ended up in my face in the middle of the pulpit. The same thing for a different reason actually happened just a couple of weeks ago when we were over in Stranraer ministering the Word of God. I was exceptionally tired in the evening. Had to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, get the ferry over to Stranraer. Was met at the ferry port by our brother Mr. Mervyn Hall, taken directly to the church, preached in the church, got into a car, was driven to Dumfries, preached in Dumfries in the afternoon, 75 or 80 mile away, back into the car, back to Stranraer, and that's why I collapsed nearly getting into the pulpit. But it was one of those occasions when I came out of the pulpit much less tired. Was the grace of God that touched us and helped us. Thinking of words that we are trying to read in the scripture many, many years ago, preaching in our old and Murray church long before it moved into Seymour Hill, the Lord had laid upon our heart that we might preach on the man called Mephibosheth. And one of the congregation didn't tell me until many years later, when he was actually a member in Samdown Road, but he said, "Ian, I didn't hear anything of your sermon, because every time you said that word Mephibosheth, I was waiting for you to get tongue-tied and twisted and make mistakes in it." Thankfully, on that occasion, the Lord helped that we were able to pronounce the names. But there are several names in the Word of God. You know them as well as I do, and they will defy almost any man's mind to get round them. Our brother Dr. Stanley Barnes is a great reader, but Stanley doesn't like to read some of these names, and again he was coming to a particular portion of scripture and he just tried it once and tried it a second, maybe a third time, and made some excuse and passed on beyond them. But the Lord knows our lack of knowledge. It is good to be back with you again this evening, and we trust that the Lord will attend to the ministry of his word. And we would invite you please to turn with me in the New Testament scriptures to the little letter that Paul wrote to Philemon. We were in 2 Timothy this morning, just come over from 2 Timothy to Titus, and then you'll come to Philemon, or it might even be easier to get to the book of Hebrews and just come to the very first chapter of Hebrews. And Philemon immediately precedes the epistle of Paul to the Hebrews. As you're turning up the Word of God, we'll unite our hearts together in a moment of prayer, please. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the joy that comes to the believing heart, the peace that passeth all understanding. Father, that joy and peace that is found not in ourselves, but is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray tonight, Father, that every child of God may indeed know the restoration of the joy of God's salvation. Father, if Thou hast taken away our sins, we ought indeed to be a happy people. Happy art Thou, O Israel, people saved by the Lord. Father, grant that our very countenance tonight may tell that we have been with Jesus. And Father, if there are those in the gathering who are not yet saved, we pray that, as the hymn writer says, under the burden of guilt and care, many a spirit is grieving, who in the joy of the Lord might share life everlasting receiving. Father, grant the gift of life, we pray. Thou hast told us in Thy word that this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. Father, how we praise Thee that the Lord Jesus Himself said, "I am come, that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly." Father, we pray that unconverted souls in this gathering this evening, who are hungering and thirsting for that which cannot satisfy, may come to the fountain of living waters, and may find true satisfaction and everlasting joy in the Lord Jesus Christ. To this end, our Father, as we turn to Thy Word and read it together and look into its pages together, we pray, O God, that Thou wilt enlighten our understanding, that Thou wilt illuminate the darkened cells of our minds, and grant, Father, that we might see the Lord. For we know that with the disciples of old, it will be said of us then, were we glad when we saw the Lord. Hear and answer prayer we ask of thee in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. The little epistle of Paul to Philemon. You'll discover, dearly beloved, that this little letter consists only of 25 verses in total. In several of them, however, the Apostle Paul mentions some of his companions in the work of God and in the work of the gospel. Some of the terms with which Paul writes concerning his companions are indeed terms of great endearment. We read, for example, in the opening couple of verses, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apphia, and to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that is in thy house, grace to you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's consider the terms that the Apostle uses here concerning those who have or who are working with him in the gospel. There is, of course, first of all, Philemon himself, the recipient of the letter. And how lovely it is to see this dear man of God being described by the Apostle Paul as our dearly beloved and fellow laborer. The opening couple of verses, I believe personally, are actually written to Philemon and his family. The second person named, our beloved Apphia, I would take tonight to be the wife or the life's partner of Philemon. And she is also described by the Apostle Paul as our beloved. The third person who is named, Archippus, he's described as our fellow soldier. I personally believe that Archippus was actually the son of Philemon and of Apphia. What a joy it is to have a household who are serving the Lord. We considered this morning in passing, when we were looking at the life of John Mark, that his mother's name was Mary, and her house and home was open to the servants of God and for the church to meet in prayer. Dear beloved, in this particular day in which we're living, I'm becoming increasingly burdened concerning the family of God, because we are a family. We are the household of faith. We have the privilege tonight of meeting in the comfort of this lovely church building. But you know, there are storm clouds gathering over our land, and not one of us tonight know with certainty how long this liberty and freedom and privilege may be granted to us to meet in a public manner without let or hindrance and without fear. It may come a time, but perhaps quicker and sooner than any of us realize this evening, when the Church of Jesus Christ will be forced to meet again from house to house. And I trust that our homes and our families may be places where the Church of God can indeed meet together. There are others named in this little epistle of just 25 verses. If you look down to verse 23 and 24, the Apostle says, "There salute thee, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus." Then in verse 24, there's a list of four other brethren who served with the Apostle. We mentioned this morning, again in passing, that Demas, who was named in 2 Timothy chapter 4, as having departed and forsaken the Apostle Paul, having loved the present world. But here he is named along again with Mark, Marcus, Aristarchus, whom we also saw named in Colossians, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. It is a sad thing, beloved, when the church is riven asunder and when the temptations of life would get the hold of one, as it did with Demas on another occasion. But here, together with the other brethren, he's called fellow laborers. Look at the titles again just for a moment. Fellow prisoner, Archippus, fellow laborer, fellow soldier, beloved, dearly beloved, and brother. These are descriptive titles, dear Christian friend, in this gathering this evening, that we who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ should aspire to and should rejoice to own and to share with those of, and I quote the scriptures of truth, like precious faith. I love the titles, the names that are given to the church of God. We are the family. We are the household. We are the body. We are the living members. We are the lively stones. We're built up together, a holy house in the Lord. We should be in love one with the other, as well as in love with the Lord. We should be looking out for one another as much as possible to help and to serve and to honor one another in the Lord. The office bearers of the church, one of the characteristics that should mark each one who is in office in the house of God is that we should be given to hospitality. Now, I don't mean by that we should be busybodies in other men's matters, but our homes and our hearts should be open toward the people of God. In the little letter to the Hebrews, which follows Philemon, the Apostle Paul encourages us all to be careful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Our hearts and our homes should be open for the service and for the fellowship of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in just 25 verses, the Apostle Paul gives to us these lovely descriptions of several of those who labored with him in the Lord. But you know, the little epistle to Philemon was really written for a very simple and single purpose. In verse 10, we discover that purpose. Paul writes to Philemon, "I beseech you for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds." Paul is writing from prison in Rome. He's writing to this dear man Philemon, an office bearer, obviously in the church, I believe in the city of Colossae, but a man who is prominent in the work of God. And Paul has a purpose in writing to him, and it is to mention the name of this man Onesimus, who Paul is now wanting to send to Philemon. The apostle has some lovely things to tell us about Onesimus. He first of all tells us here in verse 10 that Onesimus is my son. My son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. Dear Christian friend, I wonder tonight, have you ever had the joy of winning a soul for the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you ever had the privilege of pointing a dear one to the Savior who gave his life on the cross for them? Oh, there can be no greater joy, no greater joy for any of us who know the Lord to have that privilege to not preach, not occupy the pulpit and declare the gospel in that fashion, but to be a soul winner for the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was in prison. He's an elderly man, as he writes in verse 9. He says, "I beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Christ of Jesus Christ, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds." He's in a prison cell. He's in a dark, dismal dungeon. But even there, the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is his strength, has not taken away the devil has not taken away the desire that Paul had to speak of the Savior and to win a fellow prisoner, for that's where Onesimus was, to win a fellow prisoner for the Lord Jesus Christ. You may say, "I'm not called to be a missionary, I'm not called to be a preacher." But dear child of God, you can have the privilege, and we all should be seeking for the honor of being soul winners for the Lord Jesus Christ. It may be in the office, it may be on the factory floor, it may be laboring simply in the street or the community where we live, but all we should ever be seeking to witness the joy of Christ to those who know him not, and to lead individuals to the Lord Jesus Christ. Onesimus, my son, whom I have begotten in my bonds. Look at verse 11. Paul goes on and he describes this man, Onesimus, as profitable. Profitable to thee and to me. Now there is a play on Onesimus' name, which we'll look at in a moment or two. But as Paul is writing this little letter to Philemon, he describes Onesimus as profitable. Profitable, useful to me. Useful in the prison. Useful in the work of God. Useful in the service of Christ. Oh, I trust tonight that you and I might have such a testimony. Verse 12, he goes on and he describes them as mine own bowels. And he says in verse 13, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. Oh, what a character reference, and what a testimony the Apostle Paul gives to this dear man, Onesimus. Onesimus is mentioned also in the epistle to the Colossian church, and in chapter 4 and verse 9, the Apostle Paul there calls him a faithful and beloved brother. Again, dear friends, I trust we who are the Lord's might have this testimony. I said to you this morning that we would be giving, as it were, the testimony and life story of a dear man of whom we read in the Word of God. That man is this dear character called Onesimus. Testimony, witnessing for the Lord Jesus Christ, is a privilege that every born-again child of God has. It so happens that today is my spiritual birthday. The 11th day of the 11th month is, of course, highly significant in the calendar of our nation. And though tonight is not the 11th day of the 11th month, some 47 years ago, the 11th day of the 11th month was a Sunday. And it was on that Sunday evening, when hearing the gospel, that the Lord in His gracious mercy brought me to a saving knowledge of the truth of that gospel. As a young man of 17 years of age, I wended my way that Lord's Day evening to the old Ravenhill Church where Dr. Paisley was preaching the gospel. To this day I couldn't tell you what text the Lord's servant ministered on, but I remember with tears in my eyes and with a lump in my throat and a pounding in my heart when the appeal was made, somehow my hand was uplifted. When an invitation was given to come forward for counselling, somehow from the packed gallery of that little church at the bottom of the Ravenhill Road, I found myself in what we'll give the grandiose title tonight of Inquiry Room. It was nothing other than the old kitchen of the old Ravenhill Church. But there, a dear man of God who to this day remains a friend in the gospel, our brother Mr. Billy Bammer, maybe known to some of you here, opened the Word of God and led me to the Lord Jesus Christ. My father was employed on that occasion in the old Co-op Bakery in the Ravenhill Road, and he had a necessity to work that Lord's Day evening. But I can remember, with again tears in my eyes, making my way up the Ravenhill Road and down Ravenhill Avenue to the office where my father was, the old Gate Lodge, and to tell him, "Father, Dad, I've got saved tonight." It was the beginning of a journey, the beginning of a walk with God, a bumpy road on many occasions. But I tell you, dear friends, the joy that was given on that occasion is a joy that has never left. I'm glad tonight I can stand before you 47 years later, publicly acknowledging the folly of our life on occasions, but to tell you of a Savior who never lets us down, to tell you of one the joy of whom in serving is unspeakable and full of glory. If you're not saved tonight, we would recommend the Lord Jesus Christ to you as a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Paul is writing to Philemon in order to entreat him to receive Onesimus into his house in a favourable manner. Oh, it wasn't really my intention to labour on this point today, but it so happens, as the Lord has given us this word this evening, that it does indeed, I believe, dovetail into some of the things we're saying this morning. Believers in the Lord Jesus Christ sometimes are a little bit reticent about receiving newcomers, or receiving people who have just professed faith in the Lord Jesus Christ into the ranks. My dear friends, Paul certainly was giving Philemon this exhortation and this encouragement this evening to receive with open arms this man Onesimus into his home. You know, Philemon had reason to be wary of Onesimus. He had reason indeed to be angry with Onesimus. He had reason to be hostile to this man, but as the Apostle Paul writes this dear letter to this man of God, to receive this newborn child of God into his house, he pleads with Philemon for love's sake to receive my son. He says in verse 11, which in time past was to thee unprofitable. I want to make mention just at the moment of the mockery of the name. The mockery of Onesimus' name. You see, Onesimus means profitable. Onesimus means useful. But on a previous occasion, when he was part of Philemon's house, Onesimus lived in direct contradiction of his name. He lived a life which made the profession of his name a lie. You see, beloved, Onesimus was a servant in the house of Philemon. In fact, we go farther, he was not just a servant or an employee, if you like, but Onesimus was a slave. He was a bond servant. Philemon was his master. Onesimus, in reality, was really the possession of Philemon. He owed everything to Philemon. His service from the morning to his service in the evening. His obligation was to serve in Philemon's house in whatever capacity he was required to labor in. Now, it does not matter tonight what we think of slavery or servitude in our so-called enlightened 21st century environment. Within the context of the Word of God, that was Onesimus' position in Philemon's house. But his life made his name a mockery. Onesimus was not profitable. He was not useful. He was unprofitable, which is what Paul says here in verse 11, which in time past was to thee unprofitable. He was rebellious. He probably was a thief. He became a runaway, and he absented himself from his father's house. It so sums up the character of every one of us. Every one of us. Some who are now saved, it describes our character before we were converted. And those of you who are not yet saved, who do not know the regenerating and quickening power of God's Holy Spirit in your heart, my dear friend, it describes your position before God tonight as a sinner. And I say again, it also describes the child of God before we were saved. One of the most horrible descriptions of any of us and all of us without Christ is found in Ephesians chapter 2. The Apostle Paul tells us the following words. Speaking to believers, he says, you hath he quickened, that is, made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past. So he's describing the past of the Christian, and he's describing the present of the unconverted soul. In time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. We were all Onesimuses, designed to be profitable. Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever, but we were rebels. We were disobedient. We were alienated from God in our minds by wicked works. Paul says, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That's exactly a description of the character of Onesimus, the mockery of his name. The mockery of his name. But then in the second place this evening, I want you to consider briefly with me the manifestation of Onesimus' unregenerate nature. The manifestation of his unregenerate nature. Word of God says that a leopard cannot change its spots. The Ethiopian cannot change his skin. And Onesimus could not change his heart, could not change his character, even though he left the house of Philemon. It's quite a journey he took. He reminds me of the prodigal in some ways. Philemon's house, I believe, was in the city of Colossae. But Onesimus eventually ended up in Rome. He took quite a journey when he decided to rebel against his master. Whether he intended to go to Rome or not, it's not certain. It may well be that in his heart he reasoned that if he could get to the center of the then known world at that time, that he would escape captivity, he would escape being arrested, and he would escape totally from the claims of Philemon upon his life or upon his heart. Whether he intended to get to Rome or not, we don't know, but that's where he eventually arrived. There's something else we don't know, whether he came to Rome as a prisoner. We're not told that either in the scriptures. Or whether once he got to Rome, he committed some further criminal offence and thereby ended up in prison. We're not told. But whether he arrived as a prisoner, or whether once he got there, the temptations of that alluring place got the hold of his heart and involved him in some criminal activity, we don't know. But one thing we are sure of, his sinful character overwhelmed him when he got to that place and he ended up on the wrong side of the law and ended up in prison. It's often been said, my dear friends, you can run, but you can't hide. We can try to turn over new leaves. We can try to get away from the world as much as possible. But I tell you tonight, if you don't have the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart, you can do what you can, but eventually sin will catch up with you. Sin, as it said to Cain, lieth at the door. The Word of God says, be sure your sin will find you out. Be sure this evening, dear friend, if you're not in Christ, that the devil will get a hold of you, and sooner or later that old nature that you may try to suppress will rise up, and it will rise up to slay you. In our modern jargon, Onesimus would be described as a repeat offender. We don't need to know tonight the number of his offences. We don't need to know even tonight the nature of his offences. It's enough to state that he was guilty, that he was lawless, that he was unprofitable, and that he was a rebel. He's now in prison. But that's really where the story begins. Because I want you to think this evening not of the mockery of his name, and not of the manifestation of his old nature, but I want you to think tonight of the marvel of his conversion experience. The providence of God, beloved, is a mighty and mysterious thing. The hymn writer says, determined to save, he watched o'er my path when Satan's blind slave I sported with death. Well, I'm quite sure tonight I could call upon many believers in the Lord Jesus Christ in this gathering. They could come to this pulpit and they could tell of experiences when they were not saved, when their souls were in danger of eternal death and eternal damnation. But it seemed just as if the God of heaven put a wall in front of us that we couldn't climb over. When Saul of Tarsus was on the road to Damascus with murder in his heart, with hatred in his mind, with enmity against God and his soul, he was suddenly struck down by that blinding light from heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ tenderly said, it's hard. it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Oh dear unsaved soul in this gathering this evening, maybe you didn't intend to come here tonight. Maybe you just somehow accidentally or by chance as it were in your own understanding thought, I'll go to church. Let me tell you, it's no accident that you're here tonight. It's no blind chance thing that you're in the Lord's house this evening. I say again, determined to save, he watched o'er my path. Paul, giving his own testimony to the Galatian church, said, when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb. My dear friend, let me tell you tonight, God is sovereign and the mighty God of heaven is in control of all things. The words of Psalm 139 are powerfully appropriate to the life of Onesimus. The words spoken by Hagar, the servant girl of Sarah, are appropriate in the life of Onesimus. Hagar said, thou, God, seest me. And the God of heaven was looking over the life of Onesimus. You think of it, 1st century A.D., the city of Colossae, having to cross seas, having to land in the nation of Italy, somehow ends up in the city of Rome. There he lives, and suddenly he finds himself in prison. And what happens in prison? He meets the Apostle Paul. He meets someone whom he may have met before in his own master's house. Now in prison, this unprofitable rebel, thief, runaway, useless individual encounters the greatest Christian who has ever lived, who himself is in prison. Coincidence, chance, providence of God. A few weeks ago I was on holiday in the land of Israel, given that privilege to be there. Came in out of my bedroom one morning, met at an elevator, said good morning to a lady and gentleman who were getting on the elevator. The gentleman, hearing my voice, said, oh, you're British, that's good. I said, well, British, but really from Northern Ireland. Oh, he said, that's better. By his accent, I could tell that he came from America. So I said, what state are you from? He said, I'm from Ohio. I said, well, that's even better for us. Looked up, I said, what part of Ohio? Started off at the Great Lakes in Cleveland in the north of Ohio, but the man interjected and said, honey, speaking to his wife, not me, said, honey, we're from nearer Columbus. I said, well, that's even better for me. You wouldn't know a little village called Johnstown near Columbus. His mouth fell open. He says, how do you know Johnstown? That's where we're from. I said, well, my daughter-in-law comes from there. What's her name? Gave him her name. Eventually he says, I believe we've met before, sir. Speaking in his American accent. Astounding that I travelled 3,000 maybe miles from Belfast to get to Israel. He travelled much further, coming from the northern states of America, to get to the same hotel in the city of Jerusalem to discover that we had met before at my daughter and son, my son and daughter-in-law's wedding. We had a tremendous time of fellowship together. It was blessed to renew fellowship. I didn't recognize him. He didn't recognize me. But the Lord saw to it that we should meet at that elevator in the hotel in Jerusalem. My dear friends, that's just a wonderful, happy experience for me. But oh, what a happy experience it would be for you tonight if the Lord in his providence brought you to Kilkeel Free Presbyterian Church in order to hear the gospel. He's a prisoner, and Paul tells him of Christ and reveals to him the glories of God and the gospel. We don't know how the Holy Spirit operated in his heart and in his life, but eventually Onesimus bowed his knee and opened his heart and called upon the name of the Lord. He's changed in heart. He has given repentance. He has given saving faith. His life has changed. He's miraculously born again. He's convinced and convicted and converted and changed. My friend, that's the way God works in the gospel. It's impossible, you know, for any of us to be saved tonight of ourselves. Salvation is a miracle from beginning to end. It's the work of God, this new birth experience, and not we are passive tonight. I had no part to play in my natural birth. And in one sense, my dear friend, I have no part to play in my spiritual birth. It was God who did the work. It was His Spirit that entered into my heart and quickened me and brought me to that place where I could look and see the loveliness of Christ. But once He did that work, oh, what a work He did. The marvel of His conversion. But finally this evening, I want you to see the measure of his salvation. What is Onesimus going to do now? What can Onesimus do? I pointed out to you at the beginning of our message this evening how affectionate was the feelings that the Apostle Paul had for him. He said, my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bond. Every dear mother in the house this evening knows the special bond that there comes at childbirth. The moment you hold that little infant, you've carried for all those months and labored and travailed in the birth experience, once that little one cries and you hold him or her in your arms, it's in the bonds and travail of labor. We who are fathers, we share in that joy, we share in that bond, but we cannot ever really know the depths of that affection. But it's what Paul says here. He's mine own bowels. Mine own bowels. Paul loves him. He now says he's profitable to me. I would retain him here in the prison. Paul's a prisoner. Not perhaps the final imprisonment that we were looking at this morning, but notwithstanding that, he's an old man lying in the prison cell, almost all alone, and Onesimus has been brought providentially to him, and he's now a servant of God and a fellow laborer with the Lord. But Paul has got a message and a ministry for Onesimus. Go back to Colossae. Onesimus, go back to Philemon. Onesimus, go back to being a servant. Onesimus, go back to being a slave. Go back to where you failed. I'm reminded of the man among the tombs whose name was Legion. No man could tame him. No man could chain him. No man could clothe him. Then Jesus came. He wanted to follow the Lord, but the Lord had something else for him to do. Mark chapter 5 and verse 19 tells us, go home to thy friends and tell them the great things the Lord hath done for thee and have compassion on thee. Onesimus, restitution. You've been reconciled to God. Now go back and be reconciled to Philemon. Onesimus, you're a thief and a rebel. Go back and pay what is due to the man you stole from. The man you ran away from. Dearly beloved, tonight, some of you who are saved know that when you were saved, life didn't become a bed of roses. In fact, life probably became more difficult. Dear unconverted soul, tonight I'm not promising you an easy road along the pathway of life, but the pathway of God is the pathway of blessing. It's not always easy to be a Christian. Philemon had reason to be worried and concerned, but you know, I think also of the salvation of the Apostle Paul, Saul of Tarsus, murderer, spiteful, angry young man, zealous for the Jewish religion, but full of animosity for the Christ of God. Yet on the Damascus Road, miraculously brought to his knees, blinded by the light from heaven, but saved by the grace of God. Ananias, go to that house and you'll find Saul. Lord, I've heard many things of this man. Ananias, you go. And after Ananias came and Saul received his sight and he tried to join the church at Jerusalem, the church at Jerusalem really was very, very careful in their reception of him, this persecutor of the church of Christ. I can understand Philemon's apprehension. I haven't time to read to you and to deal in fullness with much of the rest of this little epistle to Philemon, but oh, how Paul speaks of the love of Christ. Yes, I know Philemon, he was unprofitable in time past, but now he's profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again, receive him that is mine own bowels, receive him as the Lord, whom I would have retained that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me. He departed perhaps for a season, that thou shouldst receive him forever. You see, I say again, my dear friends, Onesimus was not going back to freedom. He was going back to be a member of that household in the capacity with which he left, a servant. But beyond a servant, not now as a servant, but above a servant, a beloved brother, beloved especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. Paul goes on even to explain to Philemon that he himself owed Paul a debt. Thou dost owe me thine own self besides. And we've reason to believe that Philemon opened his heart and opened his home and received this dear man back. Yes, as a servant, but beyond the servant, as a brother and as a member of the church that met in his house. Oh, dear Christian friend, hasn't the Lord transformed your life? Dear unsaved person, let me tell you this evening that if you become a Christian, God will give you the grace that is necessary to do whatever is necessary to prove that you're a Christian. There are many believers in this house tonight, and the devil used the argument in our hearts for many days. How will you go back to your family? How will you go home to your friends? How will you go into work tomorrow? How will you tell those that labor in the factory or in the office or in the shop that you're a Christian? They'll laugh at you, they'll mock you, they'll scorn you. My friend, these are the lies of the devil. Onesimus, the runaway rebel, thief and servant, was enabled by the grace of God to go back to his master's house and to tell him of the great things that the Lord has done for him. Let me finish as I began. We spoke this morning about Mark who failed, but the application of that occasion is, I believe, appropriate here tonight. If someone comes into this church next Lord's Day and you know them from a history in Kilkeel that would say that they're far from being a Christian, they come here with a testimony, I got saved last week, yesterday or whenever. Oh, dear Christian friends in this church, let's receive them. Receive them on the profession of their faith, trusting that the Lord has done a work of grace in their hearts. Let us endeavor to be soul winners. Dear unsaved person in the house this evening, right now, this moment, you as an unregenerate man, woman or young person can be changed by the grace of God. And I trust you'll find in this house those who'll receive you gladly and welcome you into the church of Jesus Christ. Let's bow in prayer. Our time has gone so rapidly this evening. I do want to thank you for listening, as you have done in the gospel. The Lord has been present with us. And I've come into your midst relatively as a stranger today. I don't know many of you really deeply in this house, but my dear friend, the Lord knows your heart this evening, knows how it is with your soul. I say to you again tenderly, the Lord has brought you here tonight. If you're not saved, by the power and by the presence of His Holy Spirit, He's speaking now to hearts. Maybe you're a rebel, a runaway, trying to escape from the Lord, but His providence has brought you to the last place perhaps you would want to be tonight. Let me just simply tell you again, there's power in the gospel of Christ to change your heart. There's power in the Spirit of God tonight to enable you to do that which is right from this moment onwards as a Christian, as a new creature. in Christ Jesus. That which you cannot do in the flesh. You maybe try to escape from your sin, but you cannot be sure your sin will find you out. But there's power in the precious blood and power in the Spirit of the living God to enable you to live for Jesus. May mean having to go to somebody and say, look, I'm sorry I did this. Or to make restitution for some sin that you've committed in the past. Not only to confess it to the Lord this evening, it may be the Lord would lay his finger upon something that you'll have to go and put right. I don't know. But I'll tell you this, the Lord will give the grace and the Lord will give the power. And dear Christian friend, if someone comes to you and say, look, I've offended against you, you didn't know I did this, but I did. But I got saved last night, or I got saved a moment ago. Oh, let us be gracious to receive in the Lord those whom he has redeemed and cleansed in his blood. If there's anyone in the gathering this evening and I can be of any spiritual assistance to you, dear friend, don't leave. Don't leave without making your need known. Speak to our brother Mr. Shields, or speak to one of the elders in the church, or some of the brethren or sisters with whom you're comfortable, and give them the joy of being a soul winner, of opening the scripture to you and showing you simply how to come to Christ, how to receive the Lord. It's not a complicated matter. But oh, we invite you tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ right now to get right with God. On this Remembrance Sunday, it may not be the 11th day of the 11th month, but on this Remembrance Sunday, like the dying thief, you can call out, Lord, remember me. Our service is over. Just going to pronounce the benediction, you're free to go, but dear friends, don't go into the darkness of the night without Christ. Gracious Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy presence. We thank thee for thy word. We pray, Lord, thy blessing upon all that is of thyself this evening. Take away, Lord, that which is of the flesh, that which would not have been born in heaven. Lord, remove it from our minds, remove it from our memories. But Lord, that which is of heaven, that which had its origin from thy Spirit, Lord, bury it deeply in the heart and soul of everyone. Especially, Lord, those who are not saved. Lord, save them. Save young people. Save older people. Save family members this evening. Lord, give fathers and mothers the joy of knowing that their offspring have come to Christ. Lord, again we ask that as the church, thou wilt make this place the birthplace of many, the nurturing place of many, the place, Father, where newborn babes in Christ can grow into men and women of God, fellow laborers, fellow soldiers, fellow prisoners, beloved brothers and sisters in Christ. To this end, Lord, pardon thy fear, with thy mercy resting upon us. Be with us, Father, not only this evening, but in the days that lie ahead of this week. Use us in thy service, we pray. Grant journeying mercies now, Father, take us to our homes in safety. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with us all. We pray in his name. Amen.